Welcome to the Ag Future Podcast, presented by Alltech. Join us as we explore the future of farming, food, and nutrition.
Where is the world's most exciting animal nutrition market? Matthew Smith is here to tell us about that. Hint, he is Alltech Vice President of Asia Pacific. Thank you for being with us, Matthew.
It's a great pleasure.
Let's go ahead and roll out the answer to that question. What country is home to the most exciting nutrition market?
One word, Vietnam.
And why is that?
I would describe Vietnam as the most dynamic marketplace for agribusiness and agri-food currently within the Southeast Asian region, and probably best to put Vietnam in context of the Asian countries. It would have the second highest population density of the Asian countries. Of course, number one is Singapore, but Singapore is a completely different model in terms of food security is the main concern in Singapore. But in Vietnam, we have many hidden treasures, I would say, which are yet to be discovered globally, that are making a big difference to the industry in Vietnam and have the, the potential to change the way in which other countries produce protein by adopting the right technology and maybe the right platforms to get to the consumer.
And what are the dynamics in Vietnam? What's driving this?
Again, the consumer. Very much a move towards growth in the middle income bracket. The desire to almost westernize, and I put that in brackets, that food is very much about culture in Asia, and culture is about food. The two are inseparable. But we do see a significant shift towards well-being and wellness and a more informed choice about food, maybe food with a story. Clearly, the dominant segment of the industry, the highest consumption would be pork. When we look at that as a metric in the feed industry, pork or swine feed would account for about 64 to 65% of the 19 million tons of feed, which is consumed annually in Vietnam. The remainder, or the majority of the remainder, would be poultry feed. So really very conventional. However, we're seeing big growth now in terms of the moves towards packaged and processed food. And ironically, the biggest segment of the packaged food market would be milk. And I would describe milk as probably the real disruptor at the moment within the Vietnamese industry.
Can you elaborate on that?
I say the biggest disruptor probably because the vehicles that we'd use to explain that would be fact number one, where is the largest centralized dairy in the world?
Vietnam.
Good answer. Again, most people would not be, that wouldn't be apparent to them. When we say a centralized dairy, there is a business in the central part of northern Vietnam, which was originally a joint venture with an Israeli conglomerate and the Vietnamese government. And they decided that they were going to go and produce milk in what effectively is a desert. And they currently today milk 42,000 cows in one farm. That's why we talk about centralized dairy, with the majority of the feed being produced on the farm in terms of total mixed rations. That business is called TH Milk. It's a fully integrated operation, a runaway success story in terms of the utilization of technology, whether that technology be milking technology, whether it be feeding technology, whether it be technology that they use to purify the water for obviously the cows to drink, and the way in which they process all of the effluent and the waste from the dairy farm so that you have an entirely sustainable unit. But when we talk about disruption, it's the way in which that milk is sold. Milk is very much seen as a premium drink. Domestically, the dairy industry within Vietnam only produces about 28% of demand. So that creates huge opportunity. The business, TH Milk, and other businesses which operate in a similar fashion have really made the, purchase of milk into a consumer experience.
Is dairy a relative newcomer to the Vietnamese diet?
I guess the answer there would be, within the context of Asia, no. There would have been a lot of what we would describe maybe as backyard farming in terms of dairy production. So it would have been sustenance. It would have been, we would produce, we would have 2-3 cows, and we would produce for the family and the neighbor. So we would share the milk. However, given this huge increase in demand for the consumption of milk, that's prompted much more cohesive dairy farming and has attracted a huge amount of investment. And again, sums up Vietnam's move away in the 1990s from a centralized approach to agriculture and food production, much more towards primary production and integration.
What are the opportunities in the Vietnamese market for emerging technologies, innovation?
I think one of the biggest trends that we see within the Vietnamese market is actually the use of technology on the horticulture side. There is a lot of investment from engineering industries, from car manufacturers, from businesses that would not historically have been related to agriculture, in terms of them utilizing distribution, mechanics. So we're talking about growing vegetables in an enclosed environment, hydroponics, etc. And those other industries see a lot of overlap with their technologies in terms of assisting a huge increase in vegetables, which would be grown very close to the cities, which obviously are the primary markets.
I believe I've read that Vietnam's aquaculture market has nearly doubled in only a few years. If that's true, what's driving it, do you think?
Again, another hidden gem, I think, with the Vietnamese market would be the aquaculture side. One of the most recognized brands in the US stores and stores in Europe would be Barramundi. So Barramundi would be the Asian sea bass equivalent. The brand is actually called Australis, A-U-S-T-R-A-L-I-S. Most consumers would buy that fillet, very nicely packaged, very heavily branded, believing that it's come from Australia, but it hasn't. It's come from a very progressive operation, which grows the barramundi offshore in cages in extremely isolated environment, which has incredible water quality, obviously, which is what's needed for sustainability and what's needed to grow the fish and have a good FCR, so feed conversion, the way in which they convert the feed. That's just one example of people using a brand which doesn't necessarily present itself as coming from Vietnam, but utilizing the environmental assets, one would say, that Vietnam has. Now, you do have to contrast that with some of the challenges that Vietnam has in terms of environment and the recycling of waste, which, again, are areas which the industry is attempting to tackle. And that's another opportunity for technology.
We've been focusing on Vietnam, but what about other countries in the region, Myanmar, Cambodia, Mongolia?
Again, all of those countries represent a huge opportunity for technology for a number of differing reasons. If we look at Cambodia, Cambodia is wedged in between Vietnam and Thailand, two countries that have a much greater recognition in terms of the food chain and primary production. But Cambodia itself is, again, a natural resource, a very clean environment where crops can be grown, particularly in the south. As you move up to the north, you start to see the opportunity for fruit and vegetables to be grown. Cambodia is the world's largest exporter of mangoes. Again, a fact that is not necessarily at the forefront of people's mind when they consume a mango. But smaller populations, obviously, than Thailand and Vietnam. From a logistical perspective, from a regulatory perspective, we have to learn, we have to embrace the local regulations, which one could argue up until recently have probably been a challenge for businesses going into those countries to set up operations. But clearly there is a growing industry in Cambodia, the aqua side, growing industry on the poultry side, similar to Myanmar. In Myanmar for many, many years was a closed market, but now again, changing government policy, and the opportunity to utilize the natural resources of those countries in terms of growing the crops, growing the energy, growing the protein that's required for livestock production. Myanmar would be dominated by a poultry industry. And again, that poultry industry has the potential to grow with technology to scale up and be in a stronger position to supply the export markets.
What disruptors do you expect to see in this emerging market?
I guess the implementation of a more cohesive food chain, more cohesive supply chain, and retail outlets. If we were to look at countries such as Thailand and Vietnam, they wouldn't be well known for having big supermarkets, but they would have an increasing number of smaller retail outlets, which are generally owned as part of integrated operations. So whilst we still have a big wet market where food is bought on a daily basis and consumed that day, there is a much greater move towards processed and packaged food. And that has big implications. It requires a supply chain, it requires refrigeration, it requires speed. But again, with a growing affluence in that middle class, the opportunity for the consumer to purchase packaged food is a clear opportunity and will be a disruptor moving forward.
How is Altec fitting into the Vietnamese market? What's going on there?
As a business, we opened our Vietnamese office in 1993. So we've been there for some time now. As with all of the Altec businesses, we really look to localize our approach in terms of the team, the makeup of the team, from a production point of view, from sales, from a marketing perspective, people who really know and understand the industry. Vietnam has been a very successful marketplace for us in that the past 24 years. And we just see our business going from strength to strength as we are now in a position to offer more feed solutions to a growing feed industry. Thailand, right the way across the Asian countries, we've had a presence for a minimum of 20 years. Myanmar is new. Cambodia is new. And Mongolia, you referred to earlier, will be very new for us, a very small market, but represents the opportunity again for us to localize our business, takes us into more of those countries. And I guess we could argue, as we see that shift in the dynamics from the supply chain perspective, gives us possibly more of an opportunity to spread what could be construed as risk. And as those animal operations scale up, the risk of avian influenza, the risk of disease on the swine side as well, obviously changes the dynamics. So it allows us to spread our footprint and secure our business.
Matthew, what would you say you enjoy most about your work?
Meeting people and apologizing to them for the fact that I only speak English.
Matthew Smith is Altec Vice President of Asia Pacific. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening. To hear other conversations with many of the featured speakers at One, the Altec Ideas Conference, visit ideas.altec.com. Access is free after signing up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ag Future Podcast, presented by Alltech. For show notes and more episodes, visit alltech.com/agfuture.